Rejoice in the Lord always. In the 8th chapter of the book of Nehemiah, Ezra the priest reads the law to the assembled people of Israel, and all the people start to weep because they realize that they had violated God's law and were living lives of sin. In verse 10, Nehemiah advises the people, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." This command not to grieve but to be joyful recurs a number of times in Scripture. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul tells us, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God. That's what we all really want. Wouldn't it be nice if we could somehow gain that peace and maintain it? Paul is telling us that we can. All we have to do is decide to rejoice in the Lord. In the New Testament, in the first letter to the Thessalonians, we read, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Rejoice and give thanks. This is the insistent message of the New Testament. The fact that we have to be told to rejoice, of course, means that it's not always obvious to us, especially when we're in some kind of distress. Modern people tend to think of joy as a response to something good. We look at a newborn infant, we receive a birthday present, we hear good news of some sort, and our response is joy. But in Scripture, it's the other way around. We are undergoing some discomfort or distress, and we are told to rejoice. Distress and anguish are the things that drag us down and weaken us. Joy is the thing that strengthens us. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Our reason for rejoicing in the Lord is because we trust Him. We know in our minds that God loves us, that He looks after us and protects us, and that He wants only our good. How do we let that head knowledge embed itself in our hearts? How can we get our feelings to confirm what we already know? By deciding to rejoice in the Lord and praise and thank Him, regardless of how we feel at the moment. When I was a child, I would sometimes get sad or downhearted. Sometimes it was because I was disappointed about something, and sometimes it was just a fluctuation of moods. My dad used to say to me, "Act as if you're happy and soon you will feel happy." Sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? You would expect that there should be some change in circumstances that would alleviate the distress. Instead, the advice is, be happy and you'll eventually feel happy. Did it work? Actually, it was a surprisingly effective strategy. The steadfast resolve not to give in to life's troubles is beautifully summed up in this passage from Habakkuk 3. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will be joyful in God my Saviour. Often one of the things that can cause us discouragement is our own failings. We strive for holiness, and yet we constantly fall down on sometimes even the simplest expressions of sanctity. We gossip, we think ill of others, we are lustful, prideful, or gluttonous. And then we get downhearted and frustrated by our lack of willpower. It's precisely in these circumstances that the advice works best. Pick yourself up again and rejoice in the Lord. Father Timothy Gallagher, in his book Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement, quotes Venerable Bruno Lanteri. Here's what he says. "Be on guard against discouragement and lack of trust. Strive to do well all that you do, but do this with respect to your humanity, without striving for an impossible perfection, focusing simply on the day at hand. Remember that the just man falls seven times a day. And so you will find blessing in the beginning, not only every day, but every hour. Discouragement is one of the weapons that our enemy the devil uses against us. We begin to doubt God's love for us. We are dismayed by our lack of progress spiritually, or by persistent sin in our lives. Perhaps things are not going well for us at work or financially or in relationships. We worry about what other people think of us. We're frustrated at life or angry at injustice. In all these things, God is in charge and cares for us. The problem is that knowledge might not help us much. We still feel depressed by the circumstances of our lives and we're unhappy. What does help is simply making the decision to rejoice in the Lord. It's an act of will rather than a feeling. And if we accompany that decision with the decision to thank God for whatever is happening to us, no matter how discouraging it is, we have an additional weapon against the attack of evil spirits who would seek to weaken us and immobilize us with fear or distress or discouragement. Choosing to rejoice and praise and thank God for our circumstances, knowing that He has our best good at heart, is a very effective way of bringing the presence of God to bear on any situation we find ourselves in. Psalm 22 verse 3 proclaims this truth. God inhabits the praises of His people. When we choose to rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances, God inhabits the very words of praise that we utter. We make Him present wherever we are, and we ensure that His will be done in whatever situation we find ourselves in. And that's one thing that evil spirits can't stand. Evil spirits flee when they hear us praising and thanking God. And many spiritual writers also tell us that evil spirits also have no sense of humour. Deciding to rejoice in the Lord then also becomes a powerful weapon to protect us from the discouragement of the enemy and drive back the lies that he tells us about God, about ourselves, or about other people. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, Paul reminds his readers, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Rejoicing in the Lord is a way of building hope in us. It's the Holy Spirit that fills us with hope when we partake of the joy of the Lord. Ultimately, the hope that we have is for heaven. Heaven is our final destination. It's what we were created for. The vicissitudes and trials of this life are nothing compared to the joy we will experience in heaven. Deciding to rejoice in the Lord is a way of bringing a little bit of heaven into the world, both for ourselves and for those around us who are struggling to maintain hope in the midst of difficulties. Let's take St. Paul's advice and decide today to rejoice in the Lord, to thank Him, to praise Him. Let it be an act of will, regardless of how we feel, whether we're despondent or content, saddened or peaceful, broken-hearted or elated. By doing so, we ensure that the Lord is present wherever we are, in whatever situation, good or bad, we find ourselves in. Joy is not just a response to some pleasant experience, but a command, a weapon, and a means of finding peace in a world of trouble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do rejoice in the life you have given to me. I rejoice in sorrow and in good times. I rejoice in the midst of my distress and when I see your blessings poured down upon me from heaven. I choose to rejoice when I hear good news and bad news. Today, right now, I decide to thank you for what is happening to me, knowing that you have everything in hand, that you love me, protect me, and build me up. Your hand is at work mysteriously in all that happens to me, so I trust that you are in charge and will turn everything to my good. Let me be the bearer of hope to those around me through my trust in your never-failing love and help. I praise you, I thank you, I rejoice in you. Amen.